Today, I'd like to discuss something that we do every day. In fact, if we did it at every opportunity, we could easily do it over 1,000 times in a year. Something we can end up doing simply out of habit, and as the expression goes, familiarity breeds contempt. So what is this activity? Well, it's the act of giving thanks, or asking a blessing, specifically at mealtimes. We're commanded to give thanks always for all things unto God, in Ephesians 5:20, and in everything give thanks, in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. The question is why? Why is it so important that we give thanks? What are its benefits, and what can we learn from it? First, is there a difference between giving thanks and asking a blessing? We all know of the occasions when Christ fed multiple thousands with just a few fish and a few loaves of bread, or at least two separate occasions. It's interesting to note how the disciples, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, recorded these occasions. In some accounts, Christ gave thanks, and in others, he blessed. We'll not read all the accounts for lack of time, but if you would please turn to Mark 8, and we'll read how Mark recorded the second occasion when this miracle was performed. Mark 8, and starting in verse 5. And he asked them, "How many loaves have ye?" They said, "Seven." And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the seven loaves, and gave thanks, and brake, and gave to his disciples to set before them, and they did set them before the people. And they had a few small fishes, and he blessed, and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat, and were filled, and they took up the broken meat that was left, seven baskets, and they that had eaten were about 4,000. Here Mark uses the two different words in the same account. Now there is no doubt that the whole meal was blessed. The sheer number of people fed with such little food, not to mention all the food that was left over, show that. Even when Christ instigated the Passover symbols of the bread and the wine, there is a difference in the way it's recorded. Some use both terms. For example, both Matthew and Mark record that Christ blessed the bread and gave thanks for the wine. So why the difference in the way it's recorded? The two words concerned, according to Strong's, are 2168, Eucharistio, which is to offer thanks, to be grateful in an active way to express gratitude, specifically at a meal. And 2127, which is eulogio, which is to bless, to speak well of, or to thank. The words essentially mean the same thing, but are they really the same? I've entitled this sermonette, "The Blessing of Giving Thanks." A little play on words, but because, as we'll see, these two aspects are inseparable. Prayer is not a one-way communication. In our daily life, we get on our knees and we pray to God, the outbound part of the communication, and God responds to us either by direct action or through his word via the Holy Spirit, which brings things to remembrance. When we give thanks and ask a blessing on a meal, we give thanks to God, which is the outbound part, and God, in return, blesses. Both parts of this communication are vital. You've probably all heard the story of a man driving his car into a busy city for a very important meeting, and he's running really close to time. As he gets closer to the building where the meeting is to be held, he starts praying, "Please God, I need a parking space real close, otherwise I'll be late." He turns around the last corner, he can see the building, and there are no free parking spaces. He's getting seriously stressed now, and once again he asks, "Please, I need a parking space." Almost immediately a car pulls out on the side, indicates, pulls out, leaving the perfect size spot right outside the door. To which the man responds, "It's okay, God, I found one." While humorous, this highlights a fundamental problem with human nature and also points to the solution. Human nature is inherently self-centered, and in order to be thankful, you have to be humble. Humility doesn't come naturally. It needs to be developed, and one of the best ways to develop it is by being thankful. When we show gratitude or thanks to anyone, we acknowledge a level of indebtedness to the other party. And this requires humility. We can't ever of ourselves be good enough to develop God's righteousness. we have to strive to live God's way, following Christ's example, developing character, and allow God to impute his righteousness to us. To put it another way, using a biblical analogy, we don't have to become a precious vase. We have to become workable clay and allow the Master Potter to create whatever he wishes out of us. Being thankful is amazingly effective at keeping our attitude right, as it forces us to have the right perspective. It shifts our focus away from self. Notice one striking example, if you would, in Daniel 6. It's a well-known section. Daniel was highly regarded by Darius the king, who had sought to set him above all the other presidents and princes. And obviously, they were less than happy with that idea, so set about devising a plan to get rid of him. In Daniel 6, and starting in verse 6, "Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king, and said thus unto the king, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute, and to make firm a decree that whoever such shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree, and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not." Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now notice Daniel's response in verse 10. "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his window being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime." Daniel didn't go back and hide in a dark corner praying that God would protect him. He carried on doing what he'd done before. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. Note, however, that Daniel didn't set about praying in front of an open window out of spite for the king's decree. He continued what he had been doing before and didn't let the threat come between him and God. Daniel knew that by staying in contact with God and by giving thanks, he would keep the right perspective. He didn't fall apart emotionally or abandon his beliefs, not even temporarily, which would have come naturally if looking at the situation from a self-centered perspective. Instead, he gave thanks to God and carried on in faith that God was more powerful than Darius the king, and that God would deliver him, which of course he subsequently did. This shows how giving thanks can be beneficial in regulating our emotions. It helps to keep situations in perspective under what could otherwise be overwhelming situations. One personal example, nowhere near as dire or life-threatening as being a lion's dinner for what you believe, as Daniel was facing, but nevertheless one that we as a family always look back on as a reminder when things get a bit overwhelming. A few years ago we had a car, which some of you may remember, which developed a faulty transmission. To cut a very long story short, it got to the stage where it was costing us more in transmission fluid than it was in petrol. Then one day it failed in catastrophic fashion. Bits of gearbox flying all over the place, plumes of smoke, etc. After many hours, we finally got picked up by a tow truck and dropped off at the end of our track. The thing is, our track is 3/4 of a mile long, rather twisty through woods with drops on one side, and this was now 1 o'clock in the morning. We had no torch with us, and we really weren't expecting to arrive home at 1 o'clock in the morning. Attitudes were not the finest, until my wife, trying to up the mood a little, said, "Let's think of all the things we can be thankful about." Almost instantly, we all said, "Well, we're thankful it's not raining." And then, "Well, we're thankful there's no clouds, and that the moon is bright enough, so we can see our way." And this continued all the way home, by which time the entire mood had changed, and we were all very thankful for a hot cup of chocolate and a warm bed. So being thankful has several benefits on its own. It helps us to keep our perspective away from self. It keeps us in contact with God throughout the day, and it can even help to improve our mood. But God gives us something in return when we give thanks, particularly at a meal. He provides his blessing. Now more than ever, we need God's blessing on our food. Sadly, when we pray to God before a meal, it's probably the only time that God has been invited to be involved with our food in its entire production. This was not always the way. When God poured out his blessings on Ephraim and Manasseh, there was a level of godliness. They might not have had the understanding that we do now, but they had an appreciation of a greater power than themselves. The farmer would have prayed for good weather to plough the ground and to plant the seed. Again, he would have prayed for the right amount of rain at the right time. He would have prayed for growth and ultimately the harvest, after which he would have given thanks. However, today, this is highly unlikely, unless, of course, you grow or raise your own. Today's farmers are indebted to banks rather than to God. Food production is now controlled by a multi-billion dollar industry and government controlling lobby groups, which are fueled by greed for profit and power, which they use to manipulate and control governments to get even more profit and power. The end consumer doesn't enter the picture, unless, of course, it's to do with getting in some cases, forcing them into consuming more. One of Satan's greatest deceptions was getting man to believe that there was no creator. Once there is no creator in the picture, you have no higher power to be thankful to, and you end up with a godless society, pretty much like we live in today. Turn please to Romans 1, and we'll see the process of how this happened. Romans 1, and we'll start in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Notice the progression. When they knew God, they didn't glorify him as God, neither were they thankful. As soon as they stopped being thankful, the focus turns inward to self. They were no longer indebted to the Creator, and consequently became vain, and their foolish hearts were darkened. These wise fools are now the ones that come up with ideas like putting jellyfish genes in tomatoes so that they stay shiny for longer, or genes from an eel in a salmon to make it grow quicker, or other such perversions of God's creation. The creation that God looked down on and called good, man, having abandoned God and taken to themselves the responsibility of creator, has set about to improve. Now that sure is foolish. While we still have a responsibility to ensure that we eat as healthy as we can, we need our food to be blessed, and we have the opportunity to receive this blessing from the very God that created it in the first place. As kids growing up in the church, food was a subject very close to our hearts, and when we first started fasting on the Day of Atonement, it was very easy to reason that if we starved ourselves for one day, we could feast for eight. Seemed like a good deal to a 12-year-old. Thankfully, as we grew, so too did our understanding. However, we need to be careful that giving thanks before a meal doesn't just become something that we have to do in order to enjoy the meal set before us. As with all prayer, we have to avoid falling into the trap of vain repetition. When we pause for a few moments before we enjoy our meal, we have a wonderful opportunity to draw even closer to God, to change our perspective away from self, relieving us from the pressures and stresses of the day, if only for a moment. In return, we receive God's much-needed blessing on our food, no matter how simple or grand the meal is, and we invite God to fellowship with us. So remember, as Paul was inspired to write to the Thessalonians, in everything, give thanks.